Why don't you pray with me for a moment? Father, we want to give you thanks tonight for the assurance of our salvation. What an incredible comfort, Lord. What an incredible hope we have that we will live forever and ever and ever with you. God, we ask you tonight that you would speak to our soul and our heart, and that you'd transport us, Lord, and help us understand our eternal reality. Our lives are filled with all kinds of difficulties and challenges, often circumstances, Lord, that if we had our choice, we would not choose. It's very easy for us, Lord, to lose sight of what you paid so much to get for us. And Father, we just ask you tonight that you'd bring to our heart the tremendous comfort of the knowledge and understanding that eternity can bring to our life. Thank you, Lord, for each person that you brought here this evening. I know there are some here this evening for the first time, or some who haven't been for a while. I believe you brought them here for a special reason. And I pray that you'd speak to their soul this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. I was thinking as Jeremy was singing that song, he called me the other day to tell me about that. For those of you who don't know, Jeremy's my son. And so we talk almost every day. And he shared with me the story of that gentleman. And I thought to myself, you know, what an extraordinary thing to have someone come into your room. He died just shortly after Jeremy left and went to be with the Lord. And I just thought, man, it'd be so amazing if everyone could have that kind of experience, you know, as they're at home or in the hospital. And many of the people that he goes to sing for do not know the Lord. They do not have the hope of Jesus. And in certain situations, he's not able, of course, to communicate that because that's the rules in some of the places that he has to abide by. But they can't stop him from singing certain songs. And so he mixes them in there a little bit. And what a tremendous song. And of course, last week, we looked at a passage, did we not, in the book of Luke. Where do you think they got that phrase, the angels coming to carry me home, from the rich man and Lazarus? The very story of Jesus himself. And the angels came and carried Lazarus right to paradise, to Abraham, to eternity. And you know, I know many of you here, I love this church. You're the church. I don't love the building. I love you. And so many of you, I know your personal stories. Some of you I do not. Any one of you that would love to write or be willing to write to me, I would love to read your story. I would love to know what's going on in your life, and I will pray for you. You can reach me at mark@rockthechurch.com. But many of you, I know your situations. And here's what I want to share with you this evening. I know that many of you in this room are sincerely trying to follow Jesus Christ, if not all of you. But again, I don't know every single person, and I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey this evening. But I know many of you are trying to love the Lord. You love the Lord, and you're trying to follow the Lord, and you're trying to serve the Lord. But whatever reason, it seems like one obstacle after another is just kind of thrown in your way. And I want to encourage you tonight, don't lose heart. And we're going to look at a passage tonight. Actually, last week, we looked in the Old Testament in Psalm chapter 73. And if you'd like to hear that message, you can go to strongdisciple.com and just look up eternity. And you'll find part one. This week, we're going to look at part two. And we're going to look at the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to see what the Apostle Paul tells us, because the Apostle Paul goes into quite a bit of detail from time to time about some of the difficulties and obstacles that he was dealing with in his life. Now, he doesn't often give us the background story, but he gives us phrases and descriptions, and we're going to look at some of that this evening, because I know that many of us in this room can relate to some of the phrases that he uses. These are actually, for me personally, some of my favorite passages in the Bible. I often read selectively some of these chapters. It's partly how I encourage myself. You know, sometimes maybe you're not sure how to read the Bible, and so you have the one-year Bible plan, and that's great. You can get a one-year Bible, or you can get a little sheet of paper, and it will show you what to read each day. And if you're just beginning, that's fantastic. If you've been doing it for years, it's fantastic. I've been doing it for 40. That's not an exaggeration. I don't know that there's been a day in 40 years that in some way I have not read Scripture. But one of the things that I often do is, well, sometimes I'll just sit down and I'll often go to Kowalski's just to have a cup of coffee, and I'll just read the book of Mark. I'll just read it. Other times I'll read half the book of Job. Just like I'm just reading, just to absorb, just to freshly have it hit me. But many times I will also go to special sections. Sections I've underlined, sections I know what I'm going to get when I go there, but I need to read it again. I need to think about it. Because at the moment or at the time or at the week, there's some circumstances that I'm having to deal with in my life. Could be personal, it could be ministry, that are quite difficult. And so I go to this passage frequently. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm going to start with verse 7. Paul writes, "This precious treasure, this light and power that now shine in us is held in perishable containers, that is, in our weak body. So everyone can see that our power, our glorious power, is from God and not our own." Well, what's he talking about? What treasure? The treasure of Christ. Paul tells us in Colossians that when we come to Christ, that it is Christ in us that is the hope of glory, the hope of eternal glory. There is no glory if it's not for eternity, and that's what the Bible refers to. And when we come to Jesus Christ, the light of the world fills our life. He lives inside of us. But at this present moment, he's held in this perishable container, Paul calls our body. This weak, broken body. And then he goes on to describe what that's like. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed and broken. We are perplexed, but we don't give up and quit. The word perplexed, if you haven't looked it up for a while, means confused, conundrum. You're just, it's like, what is going on? Why is this happening? Pressed means every side, you look to the left, to the right, up, down, there's just trouble. Trouble, problems. They might be finances, they might be your health. You might be, oh, I just chipped a tooth. My car just broke down. My child's sick. I have family issues. My extended family has issues. I don't know that there's a day that goes by, this is of course part of what pastoring is, that I'm not dealing either in an email or phone call or multiple emails with someone who's going through something that just came out of nowhere. And they feel pressed. We can feel pressed by every side. We're hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going. Through suffering, these bodies of ours, constantly sharing the death of Jesus, so the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. You ever feel like that? You just get knocked down, you get back up, bam, you get knocked down again. You get up, bam, you get knocked down. There's a period in my life, I won't get into it a lot tonight, elaborate, because many of you know the story, but for a seven-year period, it was unlike any period I've ever been through in my life. And it was so, I'm not a writer. I write things to myself. I write messages. I sit, you know, I write things. But I'm not just a writer, just, you know, the guy just has journals and journals full of things. I don't know even why I did this, except that I had this deep inner sense that I am now entering a dark, unbelievably difficult time in my life. And my daughter got inexplicably sick, just mysteriously healthy as could be, second-degree black belt in karate, taking care of little children, just graduated from college, and bam, just out of nowhere, she's just knocked down and, well, almost bedridden for 3.5 of that 7 years. But here's what happened, and I've written it all down and dated because I knew no one would believe me. It was like everything started to break. I remember one particular day, I was backing the van. I've never had this. I've been in the auto business. This is just unimaginable to me. I was running to get some medicine. I backed out of the driveway, got to the bottom, put on the brake, completely paused the car, put it into drive, pushed accelerate, snap, the transmission right there in my driveway, went out of the car. I can't even, all I can do is go in reverse. So I somehow reversed it back to where I could park on the street. $2,000 that had to be. Next thing I know, I'm spending $1,000 a month, then $3,000 a month on medical. Then my favorite chair broke, then the garage door broke. Then one day, the water heater, air conditioner, and heating unit all went out at the same time. $5,000. I mean, I've got it written down. And then relationship stuff, and then people burning out, and then massive problems I'm dealing with one of our churches in Germany. And I'm just like, wow, you just get knocked down, you're trying to get back up, bam. And it felt like, to be honest, God just shoving my head underwater. And I try to get some water and shove my head back underwater. I say that only to help you understand that when I share these messages with you, I'm not sharing, you know, from a theological perspective in which I studied it in my graduate thesis, and now I'm expounding on the Greek and Hebraic understanding and the exegetical grasp of this. I've lived it! I've lived it! Which is what really matters. I've been through pain as you are going through pain. This book is my life. It's my bread. It's my food. It's the wind in my soul. And without it, I die. In the arena of life, I have studied it. In the hardships of life, I have clung to it. And we learn these lessons. And so I pass on to you what has become so valuable to Paul, became so valuable to me. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus. So the life of Jesus will be obvious in our dying body, not our living body. So we live in the face of death, but it has resulted in eternal life for you. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are quite small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us an immeasurable great glory that will last for eternity. So we don't look. We don't get caught up. We don't place our focus on the troubles we see or experience right now. Rather, we set our hope and look forward to what we haven't seen, eternity. For the troubles we have now will soon be over, but the joys to come will last for all eternity. I like what I found this actually on my daughter's Facebook the other day. Yes, I'm a Facebook stalker. I won't have one myself, I promise, and I won't go back on it. I actually can't really stand it, but I see my grandchildren's pictures on Facebook, so I go. And once in a while, I spy on you. And this verse she had posted the other day. This is from the Voice of 2 Corinthians 4:16. So we have no reason to despair. Boy, that grabbed me when I saw that, because honestly, there are times, not that I've given up all my hope, but I felt despairing. Like, Lord, my life is so distressful. These troubles, Lord, are just rolling over me. In fact, there's a psalm, one of my favorite psalms, 66. You cause men to ride over our heads, Lord. You put us under oppression, Lord. And then you brought us to a place of abundance. And sometimes that's what life feels like. It's just like, wow, Lord, it's just like an ocean of waves rolling over me. When I was a little kid, we lived in Los Angeles, California, and my father and mother would take me once in a while to the Pacific Ocean, and I'm kind of one of those little, at the time, I'm not so much anymore, I was one of those little risk-taker kids. You think that's not true, but when I was 2.5, I would climb up into trees and could not get down. My mother would have to call my father home from work. I would shinny up the pole in the garage, these old-fashioned garages, and sit up in the rafters and then get up on the roof, and my mother would have to call my dad home to get me down because she couldn't. So I went out a little too far in the Pacific Ocean on a sandbar, and all of a sudden giant waves came and little Marky disappeared. And I was under the water. Have you ever been under waves and you don't know if you're going to come up in the ocean? It's really freaky. And you're like gagging on salt water. And sometimes that's what life feels like. For this reason, we do not despair, despite the fact that our outer humanity is falling apart and decaying. I'm coming to terms with that. The other day I saw a picture of myself and I'm like, Kathy, what? Mark, that's good. I said, no, it's not. I have a turkey neck. No wonder people get facelifts, Kathy. I look old in this. Do I really look like that? She goes, well, no. Well, honey, you are. Well, no, you don't. And I'm like, don't even say anymore, okay? I can see in a mirror. I understand that to a degree, no matter how much I stay fit, that I'm falling apart and decaying. And our inner humanity, our new man, is breathing in new life every day. You see, the short-lived pains of this life are creating for us an eternal glory that doesn't even compare to anything we know here. So we do not set our sight, we do not set our mind and our focus on the things we see with our eyes. All of that is fleeting. It will soon be gone. It will eventually fade away. Instead, we focus on the things we can't see, which live on and on and on for all eternity. You know, people used to tell me, I have 4 children. They're all married now, and now I have 9 grandchildren, and by August, it'll be 11. And I'm going to tell you, I feel younger than you may think I look. But I was telling Kathy as we drive here tonight, right now we have my daughter and her husband and their brand new little baby girl, Charlie, living with us. And I'm addicted to Charlie, I admit that. I don't know what I'm gonna do when they leave. And I said, you realize, Kathy, when she's 15, I'll be 75. I mean, it was just yesterday, we had Celeste. Sometimes when I see little Charlie on the counter, it takes me back to the sorority where we cooked. Kathy and I, little Celeste was an honorary Alpha Chi, and there she was. Little Charlie has certain resemblances of Celeste when she was little. She does little things like she'll lay on the bed, and she'll take both of her little legs, stretch them all the way, and she'll suck on her toe. Celeste did the same thing. And I'm like, I'm right back there. It's just like, but I'm going to be 60. Bam! 40 years following Christ, gone. I'm so glad I chose Christ. I'm so glad I chose Christ. In 25 years, I'll be 85. I come from pretty good, you know, people who live pretty long. My grandfather lived till he was 98. But I don't know if I'll live that long. But it's just a vapor. It's a fleeting moment. Life is so brief and it's so momentary, but so are our troubles compared to all eternity. And the troubles you go through, and as you trust God, they are accruing in heaven this incredible weight of glory that is not even comparable to what you're presently going through. And it will last forever and ever and ever. Paul goes on to say this. For we know when our earthly tent we live in is taken down, when we die and leave these bodies, we have a home in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present body, and we long for the day when we'll put on our eternal body like new clothing. For we will not be spirits without bodies, but will put on a new eternal body. Our dying bodies make us groan and sigh, but it is not that we want to die and have no body at all. We want to slip into our new body, so this dying body will be swallowed up by eternal, everlasting life, which God Himself has prepared us just for this and has guaranteed it by giving each of us His Holy Spirit. So we're always confident. We're confident. Hopeful, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. That's why we live by faith, not by what we see. We put our hope in what's coming, not what we're experiencing now. And we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these bodies so that we'll be at home in eternity with Christ. You see that? We're going to have an eternal body, an eternal body. And you're going to be surrounded with all the people that you love. All the people. I wrote this today to myself, and I'll share it with you. Life here is short, momentary. Suffering here, while very real and often very painful, when compared with eternity and forever, and what is ours for all eternity, is really infinitesimally small. Infinitesimally small when you compare it. And that's the secret. You have to compare it. If you don't compare it, it seems like you're never going to get out of this difficulty. It's just so interesting. In Romans, another favorite, I read Romans 8. I have probably read Romans 8 more than any other passage in the entire Bible, as far as going back to it over and over and over. It's the famous passage where Paul tells us God causes all things to work for good. Who can separate us from the eternal love of God? That's the word you need to put in there. For the love, read Psalm 136, for the loving kindness of the Lord, His faithful love is everlasting. It's eternal. But Paul writes this, and I often reflect on it. Yet what we suffer right now is nothing. Nothing compared to the glory that He will give us for all eternity. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal His children. All creation anticipates the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay and trouble. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And even we Christians, although we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of eternity, we groan longing to be released from pain and suffering. In other words, like childbirth. Well, this was just brought home to me freshly. I have not been around anyone going into childbirth. In 27 years, my son Micah turned 27 last Monday. He's the baby. That's the last I've been around a baby and my wife going into childbirth. I never forget, it was December 7th, just last year. Jesse and Mark are downstairs. They were hoping to have a midwife home birth in a little pool. And she'd been having a whole lot of Braxton Hicks contractions. I get up very early. For those of you who don't know, it's very, very early. It's just how my body works, how my day works best. And I was out in my garage office. It's very dark. I have a little light on. I was having prayer time. And about 5:30, I hear a door and a creak. And that's really weird. So I open the door, and Mark comes out, her husband. He said, Mark, can we use your van? Well, you got to go to the hospital. I said, well, sure, yeah, what's going on? He goes, well, the midwife thinks maybe Jessica has a UTI. She's not due for 2 more months, supposedly. And so, well, she suggested we go to Abbott. I'm like, okay. So my daughter comes out. Of course, as a dad, you never want to see your daughter suffer, period. Even though, I didn't know she was going to have a baby at that moment. And she walks out, oh, and she leans over there, and oh, okay. Oh, and I'm like, okay, I really don't want to see this. I lived through this before. I don't want to live through it again. And so I went back in my office and I said, I love you guys. Call me later. And I'm praying for you. And about an hour and a half later, they called back. Well, Dad, This is Mark. It wasn't Jesse. He goes, well, I'm about 7 centimeters dilated. I guess we're having a baby today. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, I got my wish. They were at a hospital because I wasn't too thrilled about the pool in my basement. But that's okay because my son Micah did it. My son Micah did it, and it worked awesome. You know, I'm like, well, and they even show me a few pictures, safe ones, you know, that were appropriate. And I'm like, why didn't we have children in a pool? That's, wow, that's a lot easier. Well, anyway, I won't get into that. You still have pain, ladies. You still have pain, okay? But anyway, so later on, we go to the hospital to see my brand new little baby granddaughter, right? And of course, we're getting the blow-by-blow, and oh my gosh, I said, now, Jesse, remember when the girls used to come over and help you when you were bedridden, and it was really, really bad? She was on a lot of pain meds during that period. And the girls used to tell you, oh, Jesse, you're so strong. I mean, having a baby's going to be nothing. You've been dealing with so much pain. They tell her that over and over, right? And I'm like, I wonder if they know what they're talking about. They were all moms, so they must, but I don't know if that's right. So I looked at Jesse. I said, Jesse, remember when they used to tell you that? So how was it? She goes, oh, this was going to kill me. She goes, that was nothing compared to this. And then she goes, but Dad, I did it with no drugs. I was determined I'm not going to take drugs this time. I'm like, well, good for you, you know. And so she's kind of hobbling around the house. But I got to tell you a little secret, okay? This is not a day that goes by. That little girl, I think it's just God. I mean this honestly, I'm going to make me cry. I think it's just God because my daughter, so get this, she's 6, 7 years. She works to get her health back for 4. She gets married November 2nd of 2013, and 3 months later gets slammed into by a drunk driver. Fractures her collarbone, separates her shoulder, and boom, sets in motion a whole bunch of crap. So I understand trouble. See, I understand, like, you just got out, and bam, you knocked me down. Lord, what are you doing? And Jesse, that little girl is so delightful. I cannot even, all I feel around the house is delight. It's just like, you look at her, and you can't stop smiling. I'll go downstairs, and I'll knock. Jesse, you okay? Oh, Dad, and she'll be kneeling on the floor. She goes, I just can't stop smiling. This little girl, Dad, is just unbelievable. It's just delight. In other words, what happens, ladies? You know this. You forgot the pain. You were in childbirth, but now I've got the girl. I got the child, right? I mean, you know, I realize that sometimes recovering from pregnancy, that's not easy. I know that. But it's a picture of us. See, right now, here's our reality. We're stuck in childbirth. I mean, that's what the Bible says. And I don't know about you, but I'll admit it. It feels like that almost every day in some way in my life. Now, this is the beauty of Christianity. I have the joy of the Lord. He's done many wonderful things in my life. So it's kind of like railroad tracks. One of the tracks is, oh, God, this is so wonderful. And one of them is pain. But where the train is going is no pain forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And we're going to have like that permanent baby, except it's far better. So here's what I wrote. When compared to eternity, what we suffer now is quite small, temporary, and will be over very, very soon. But that short, momentary suffering, pain, heartache, and grief will earn for us an overwhelming, unbelievable bank account of eternal glory and reward that will last forever and ever and ever, and it will erase all memory of what you endured to gain what you will possess and enjoy forever and ever and ever and ever for all eternity. All eternity will be magnificent, perfect, blissful, delightful, wonderful, glorious, painless, experientially incredible for all eternity. And it will never end. It will never end. It will go on for 100 years, 200 years, 1,000 years, 5,000 years, 10,000 years, 20,000 years, 100,000 years, 500,000 years, 1 million years, 1 million to infinity and infinity and infinity and infinity forever. One man, to illustrate this, I was going to do this, but I thought, yeah, I'll just tell you. He gets this 1,000-foot rope, and he has him curl it up all on stage, and about this much of the rope he brings up from the floor up. It's painted white. And he goes, this is our life, okay? I'm going to demonstrate eternity. And then for the next 10 minutes, he just keeps pulling the rope, and the rope goes on and on and on. And you begin to realize that eternity swallows up this temporary, momentary, fleeting life of ours. This is why we don't live for here and now. We keep our eye on what's coming. We keep our eye on eternity. We keep our eye on the fact that Jesus even promised some of us here literally may not die because he may return in our lifetime. And this was the hope of the Christian. And even if he did not return during our lifetime, but it's the next one to come, my promise is I'm going to him. In a brand new world, brand new earth, brand new universe, no wretched sinners, no injustice, no wickedness, no pain, no sorrow, no suffering, but also all the opposites, joy, fulfillment, meaning. There will never be a relational problem. There will never be any tension. And we will be in the presence and with God and enjoying all that he's made and the Bible promises us, in new heavens and new earth. And all of it's ours. And it's all free. And there'll be no work like we think of work. And you'll never be bored. And there'll be lots of new worlds to discover and lots of new things to do. And if you're more interested, I have a series called Heaven, strongdisciple.com. And I get into this even more if you'd like to listen to it. So we're going to bow our heads for a word of prayer. And I want to encourage you, keep your mind on eternity. Go over these passages yourself. Look them up. Romans chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 5 and 6. Read what Paul described. Paul had a very, very difficult life, and yet he was so full of joy and hopefulness because his eye was on what's coming. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight for our eternal future. We thank you and praise you tonight, Lord, that nothing, nothing, nothing can separate us from the eternal love of God. No suffering, no calamity, which, by the way, presupposes and implies clearly in Scripture, we will have calamity. But it is impossible for that calamity to separate us from our eternal love that God has for us and the future that you have for us. And in fact, that very calamity sets us up for incredible fame and glory in eternity. It doesn't earn eternity for us. That's a gift given to us by your Son, Jesus Christ. But it brings us an incredible weight of glory, and we bless you for that tonight, Lord. Father, I thank you for your faithfulness in my life and in every person in this auditorium tonight. You have been so faithful to us. And you be faithful to the very end in the midst of our doubts and our struggles and at times our discouragement. We thank you, Lord, that you're with us and you'll bring us safely to our eternal home. In Jesus' name, amen.